Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am broadcasting live from the Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth right across the street from T-Mobile Center, right at the entrance of Miller Lite Fan Fest. Nate Pucati's back in studio with Jake Gutierrez and our friend Jamie Bluma. What's up, Bluma? How are you doing?
Good morning. How's the sauna at Power and Light? Good?
It's a hot box.
Hot box.
It is.
Not your
it's
first,
good.
Not your first hot box.
No, not my last either, buddy. But I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready to roll. Is the waiting for the sun to come up, and then it's all going to go down here at Miller Lite Fan Fest.
Are you there for the whole week?
Well, I'm here today, and then Nate Pucati will relieve me around 12 or 12:30.
Will he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that was a part of the deal.
Oh, it's I just made it part of the deal.
Mm. So. Oh, boy.
All right.
I'll stay out of that one.
Good time to avoid Power and Light.
Well, this is the way I figure it. It's got to be on stage from 10 until 2. If I'm on from 10 until 12:30, figure you could handle the last hour and a half, and then you're here Wednesday.
Yep.
We're both here Thursday.
Okay, good. That's what I'm getting.
And then I'm here Friday. And so, to me, that sounds pretty equal.
That's pretty good.
If you ask me.
Well, I'll run you down on Thursday. I'm going to do Shane Dennis's show with him at Hooley House on Thursday at our regular scheduled time.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
But, you see, because I'm just, hey, I'm just a guest down here. This is Nate's party. This is Nate's deal. You know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It kind of has become your deal.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're the
unofficial host of Power and Light.
Well,
I'm yesterday's
World
news.
World Cup yeah. Watch parties.
Uh-huh.
Watch parties.
I was the man down here in 2014 and 2015. And you know that, Bluma.
Oh, right?
This was
I spent
my
some
stage.
Time. I spent some time with you down there.
I got no problems. I have no ego problems. This is Nate's stage now. This is Nate's territory. Chiefs playoffs, Nate. Super Bowl, Nate. Soccer, Nate. Don't shy away from it. Don't run to it.
And then
you're the guy.
Then
down
you
here.
Share the Big 12.
So I'm just no.
It's Jaime's stage.
No, Mizzou plays in the SEC, and so I've been pushed out. I will come in here. I will fill in until the man gets here, until Nate gets here, and he takes over. That's how it is. I get it. I understand it. And I'm here for. I know. A smart man knows his place in the world, and I get it. So
you do it well,
Nate. Your kingdom awaits.
Well, like I said.
I'm just saying everything that he says off the air. I'm just saying it
right.
On the air.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's
you know,
it's my stage. Let,
yeah,
100%.
It's That's
my
exactly.
It's my event.
There you go. Own it.
I do own it.
Yep.
I own that stage.
K-State and KU fans are here to see you.
Oh, aren't they?
Yeah.
Don't they all love me?
Yes.
Will he get pelted by Iowa State fans with fruit?
That's a whole different story, yeah. Absolutely.
Woof. Hey, look, as a person who cares about the economy of Kansas City, go Cyclones. They need to.
Hey,
I mean,
true story.
It's a good thing that they're playing in the championship game tonight on the women's side because they will show up. They will spend money. They will drink beer. They might destroy some property. They will be there for their team. And if we want to have a good crowd in the P&L all the way through, the best chance is for Iowa State. I mean, look, of course we hope KU and K-State make runs. Not particularly optimistic this year. If they do, it'll take a couple upsets. But Iowa State, if they can get there to the championship game, we'll have great crowds every single day now.
No doubt about it.
Go Cyclones. You know.
Yeah, and Bloomer, you know that I'm under doctor's orders. I got to take care of my voice. The most important thing to me is doing this show from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and I have to make sure that my voice can hold up for the show. And it's already failing me right now. That's why the new plan of you relieving me, because my, I don't know if you can tell, my voice is already almost kaput. So I'm taking my medicine. I'm doing it whatever I can. But, you know, much like the NBA now, load management when it comes to my voice. That's what we got to do.
Well, okay?
The Travis Kelce rules are in practice. They're going to take it easy on me. I'll get Fridays off, and then I'll ease my way. But then once game day, I'm ready to go. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., let's go, partner.
There you go.
So that makes me like the backup tight end that gets his ass kicked in practice all day. And then...
No. Correct.
Yeah. The big lights come on.
All the grunt work.
Maybe.
All the grunt work.
That's all right. Hey, we all got to play our role.
Yes, I feel you on a little bit on the voice. We had started spring break camp yesterday, so
you shouting at a lot of kids yesterday.
Yeah, I've got the semi Stephen St. John voice going on this morning. Like I've been out till 5 o'clock in the morning, but
wow,
all good.
I wish that was the reason. I just it's been one of the more frustrating things I've dealt with. And like 1 week it'll be okay. Hey, I think it's going to be all right.
Right.
And then the next week I need to go back. So but I go. It's already been a month, so I go back to see the specialist again.
Yeah, what was the diagnosis? I didn't hear exactly the diagnosis on. Just
I have a growth on my vocal cord.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it was they put that camera up my nose and down my throat.
Love that.
And so, right. No, I didn't.
No.
But... But I was kind of nervous because she said, well, it could be this, it could be that, you know, and gave me a couple of different things, and I was like, oh boy.
Well, at least you know now, and can treat it.
It's a nodule on my vocal cord is the actual term, and so I had to go through. They took a steroid pack, okay. And then I have a couple of sprays that I use, and then. Just different medications and different stuff.
And that's just a product of you overuse of talking a lot and all that? I mean, that's a pretty typical thing.
You know, I think Petro went through and he had to actually have surgery.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Just,
and it's not at this point. I don't have to have surgery,
right?
But if it doesn't heal properly or whatever, that could be an option. Okay. But also. Acid reflux added to it, and so I took a medication now to actually decreases the that and that's actually been that's been awesome, and it's helped my acid reflux decreases the acid in my stomach produces or whatever, and so there's a bunch of different things that have combined to do that, but yeah, basically just overuse of the voice, and so I got to try to be careful.
There you go.
And it's exciting for my family because I don't talk as much when I'm off the air. And I'm not really supposed to yell or raise my voice. And they're thrilled with the idea.
More of an observer.
Yeah, and trust me, they push the envelope. Dad can't yell anymore. Let's push the envelope here. Mom's the yeller now. So, Jamie Bluma, we're just 16 days away from opening day.
2 weeks from Thursday. Are you going out opening day?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I'd like to.
Okay.
You talk about this thing sneaking up on us.
Yeah, no kidding.
What the hell? Are we ready? I mean, Nate, Jake, are you ready for this? We got 2 weeks.
Not really. No, I
not at all.
I don't know.
I kind of want to go.
You want to go to opening day?
I haven't been to an opening day. I don't know. It's been at least 3 or 4 years now.
Right, well, Thursday the 28th.
We'll have a discussion after the show.
Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. I'll go out there.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, not even from a Royal standpoint, but from a big free agent standpoint. Who's still out there? I mean, Jordan Montgomery's still out there. Ian Snell. Yeah. I had a long conversation about Ryan Stanek. Stanek finally signed this week.
Stanek signed, right?
Yeah, with Seattle. I had a couple injuries over there, including Jackson Kowar. I was having Tommy John, and then they had another guy. Brash went down. And so I had... I had texted Ryan a couple weeks ago. I'm like, it's March. You might And so that's just, I mean, it's the weirdest, latest market for two studs. I mean, that's two guys that can anchor a rotation that are just, not, I don't know, just hanging out, waiting for the right right situation. I mean, are they going to be ready for opening day? I mean, hopefully they're doing everything they can on their own, but can you get everything done on your own that you would be actually doing while in a camp? I mean, I don't know. And then I would start to see with the Royals, you know, more moves, more guys getting shifted down, more guys. I mean, we're starting to get to crunch time on who's going to be on this 26-man roster. And really interesting to watch some of the bullpen arms. I mean, a lot of guys in camp that aren't household names. So keeping an eye on some names that maybe you haven't heard from or seen or have been a part of this team in years past. And other interesting battles like Prado. He's trying to hit his way onto the team, where I mean, he was maybe on the outside looking in going into spring. So there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Yeah, I'd be real surprised if Prado could earn a spot.
Right.
And now they were pretty disappointed. And he had a golden opportunity last year to make an impact and seize a spot, and he did not do it.
Nope.
And it's just, you know how I feel about this. You shouldn't get it because of how you perform in spring training.
Which is hard, because what else are you supposed to do to try to make a team except for go out and try to hit as well as you can in spring training? It's a double-edged sword.
It's all you can do.
Right.
But he'll probably have to produce. I assume they have option on him to where they can send him to AAA
this year.
Yeah,
he's probably got one left.
So produce in AAA and wait for see if you get another opportunity. If somebody gets hurt, if something else happens, you know, you're probably going to have to wait for another opportunity. But you got to – we've talked about this. Some guys get a longer leash than others when it comes to the ability to, you know, that chance to prove that you belong. But when you get the chance, you got to seize it. He got a good chance last year.
He's always going to get more opportunities because of where he got drafted and the money they have invested in him and that type of thing. I mean, that's the advantage of being a higher draft pick, is you get more opportunities to fail. I mean, you hit it right on the head, and that's where he's at. He was a first-rounder back in the day, and give those guys every opportunity. I love what some of the other guys are doing in spring. Lofton's having a good spring. I think he's going to be a super utility guy. I love Drew Waters just swinging a little bit better this spring, too. We need to have him be a guy offensively. We need Velasquez to, man, we'd love it if he continued to do what he did the last couple months of last year. And I know spring training numbers don't matter a ton, but you hope when we get rolling in 16 days, he does some of the things that he did last year.
And see, and that's interesting as well, because I can tell you going into spring, Prado, Lofton, Drew Waters, the none of those guys were on the team. All three of those guys got to play their way onto the team and beat out guys who the Royals considered ahead of them on the roster. And so that brings up a really interesting point. And to expand on what Nate is saying, how much do you value what they're doing in spring versus how you perceived this roster, if you're the Royals, going into spring? Because the way they looked at it, and trust me, this isn't guesswork, the way they looked at it was Drew Waters still got an option on him, want to send him down so he can play every day. Nick Lofton, they like him as a super utility, but they went out and signed Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier to be the utility guys on the bench. Because right now, the way, or going into spring, the way they looked at it was, I mean, obviously, you know, Salvi's a catcher. At first base, you've got the return of Pasquantino. Second base is Massey. Shortstop, Bobby Witt. Third base is Garcia. And then in the outfield, you bring in Renfro, Kyle Isbell at center, and then Melendez in left. And then Freddie Fermin's the backup catcher. And the bench is Adam Frazier, Garrett Hampson, and they like Deron Blanco as the fifth outfielder because of his speed. He's a good pinch hitter and a good pinch runner, good base stealer. And then primarily the DH is going to be Velasquez. And so that leaves Prado and Lofton and Drew Waters off the opening day roster. So I'll ask both of you guys, do you just, you know, you constructed that roster and that's what you felt like it was going into spring. Can those other guys do enough in spring, or, like Nate says, you just kind of got to ignore the spring numbers and go with what you thought the team was going to be before spring started?
Well, the big thing for me is those guys that have those options left. I mean, that sucks for them because when you're in a situation like that, because you have that option left and they'll probably use that. I mean, you're dealing with a little bit of an injury with Blanco right now. I think he had to go get an MRI or something yesterday or tweak something. So things that happen that late in camp, I mean, give guys an opportunity. I mean, it sucks for him, but at the same time, that gives the guy an opportunity. Man, making an opening day roster is a big deal. I mean, especially for guys like some of those younger guys that maybe got call-ups and things like that. Man, being on a roster, those 26 guys on opening day, that's a big deal. Now you got to take that and run with it and continue to go out and produce to stay on it. But and that's the opportunity that spring does present itself. So hopefully you have enough opportunities to at least show what you can do. We used to say that when we were driving to spring training down in Baseball City, like systematic elimination of the competition. Maybe you run somebody off the road there in the morning and put them in a ditch and you got a chance to make a roster. But that was always the thing. Like, you don't ever know what the higher-ups have in their mind on who they wanted to make the team before camp even started. I think a little bit of that happens at the big league level, just like it does at the minor league level. You might be working out with the AAA team all spring, and then you get sent to high A. And so some of these things with some of these free agents we signed with Frazier, with Hampson, and all those guys, I mean, that's guaranteed money. And so you cut those guys loose. I mean, I don't know what those contracts, I mean, if they get released by the end of spring training, is that money guaranteed? Or does another team that wants to maybe pick those guys up, you know, has to honor that contract? Versus a younger guy that's just getting option to play every day in AAA.
When you were asking me that question, Stephen, it was reminding me back of when I used to go down and cover spring training for like the entirety of it. When I first started at 810, I would spend like the whole month in Arizona covering the team. And I remember there were some guys that could make the roster that were surprise guys, and they almost always were pitchers. And I'm wondering, Bloom, if you feel the same way. Maybe it's easier to impress as a pitcher because we can just look at your stuff. You know, like all of a sudden, like I remember Nate Field. Remember him? Like,
oh,
he
yeah.
had been an
yep.
independent league guy.
I still talk to Nate Field.
Great dude. I really mm-hmm. liked him. And he came in and he's throwing 96, 97 miles per hour. And he's throwing a breaking ball that had good action on it. And there. And I talked to the coaches and they're like, hey, this guy, his stuff is it plays like you can tell. But as opposed to like a. I remember Abraham Nunez was a guy they brought in, was a former first-round pick and had all the tools, could hit for power, could supposedly hit for average and run and throw and everything, and he just crushed the ball in spring training. And then when they got to the major league season and real pitchers were trying to really get him out, he couldn't do anything. I just wonder if it's easier maybe with the pitcher because you can just flat-out look at their stuff. You don't have to really judge. I don't know. Does that make
well,
any
I mean,
sense?
Well, no, absolutely, because you always want to take stuff, you know, over anything else from a pitching standpoint. Now, the few things you can do with that on position players, speed.
Right.
You know, speed is one thing that's a tangible that you can see every single day. Now, we hope this guy can hit. We hope he makes contact. We hope he doesn't strike out a ton of times. But with pitchers, yeah, you've always got stuff, and you hope they can get it over the plate and do all that stuff. So that's the hard thing, man. It's a lot of guys fighting for this guy when it starts to come down to a coaching staff too, or something like that, where one guy may like this guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's a
for
better
sure.
guy. I mean, this is where makeup comes into it too. I mean, that's one thing that we all know what Dayton, when he would acquire a guy, it was all about fitting into that clubhouse too. That's where guys in that clubhouse, you know, how does that guy going to fit in with the rest of the guys as far as, you know, making this team or not making this team. And that matters.
Well, and what you talked about, Steven, too, is it might seem unfair and cold-hearted if you're the guy that has the options on your contract, but those things really matter. And if you're not mindful of that when you're running the team, then you're making a mistake. And I actually think that that's something that I personally think that Dayton Moore, I think, was a mistake on his part, was not being more mindful of what guy's contract. I mean, they could have an extra year of a guy like Brady Singer, right? Or at least push back arbitration for a year if they hadn't brought him up so early in a season that they weren't going to win anyway. And, you know, the players all love it, and they go, oh, this is great. See how Dayton Moore, he doesn't manipulate the roster based on – but you know what?
Time.
The rules are the rules, yeah. And if you're not using them to your benefit – And my question, I mean, I used to talk to JJ about this. I'm like, okay, I see you guys are doing that, and that's great. The players all love you, but does it pay off? Do any of them actually give you a discount when they hit free agency to stay here? No. I mean, I used to have Eric Hosmer tell me, man, I'd do anything for Dayton Moore. He's so great. He treats me so awesome and all that stuff. Well, as soon as you hit free agency, you're gone.
Right.
Which in the end was actually probably a good thing for the Royals because they didn't owe all that money that the Padres did. But my point just being is, it's a cold-hearted business on both sides. The player's going to go get as much as they can. You've got to make sure you handle the roster the way that the rules allow you to handle it to maximize what you can be as a team.
And some teams are completely different than others as far as how front offices handle that. I mean, some front offices are just cutthroat about it.
They don't treat you like a person at all,
nope,
right?
We don't. We will manipulate your service time as much as we can because at the end of the day, we're here to win as many baseball games as we can.
And it's in the rules. Within the rules.
We're going to do that. And we understand when it comes to arbitration time, we're going to fight with you to try to save every dollar. Royals are a little bit on the other end of that. I think they have been with, you know, in the Dayton Moore regime.
It's changing a little bit.
It is changing a little bit. I mean, you got a different owner. You got a different GM. And things are going to be different than they were before. But those things do matter. I mean, those options do matter. I mean, none of these guys have played well enough to guarantee themselves a spot on an opening day roster. Even these free agent guys that we signed.
Right.
Yes, they've got a little bit more of a track record because they've been around and they're more veteran guys. But you still, I mean, the goal is to win baseball games at the end of the year. And especially this year, we've gone out and spent a ton of money, more than we probably ever have in free agency in the offseason.
And signed the biggest signing in the history of the team in terms of keeping your own guy.
Absolutely. And you got an opportunity in this division in this year to give yourself an opportunity to compete, if not for the division title, but for a wild card.
We've got Jamie Bluma in studio. We will take a break. Also, real quick, the update on Blanco having an MRI on his left calf because he left Saturday's game against the Diamondbacks in the fifth inning due to cramping. It's precautionary, and so he was having the MRI yesterday. He feels fine walking around, but the Royals wanted to check all the boxes before letting him back into game action. We will take a break back after this on WHB. All right, if Lebo is near a microphone, I'd like to know what happened to the one seed in the Big 12 women's tournament, Oklahoma, as they were...
They got embarrassed.
They were beaten handily by Iowa State. Lebo, what happened?
No, they got beat.
You got to guard the three, Lebo.
They didn't do a very good job of that.
52% from beyond the arc from Iowa State.
They still won the regular season title in their last year in the league.
Right.
They will not win the SEC women's basketball title ever.
Right. Ever.
Well, that's a scrappy league right now.
Ever.
Don't get in the middle of that mess.
Nope.
You see the dude who jumped out of the stands, that was the girl's brother. He was going to go and fix things.
Well, he jumped out of the stands, and then he realized he was about a foot shorter than the gal he was squared up with.
He got charged
with
something.
Better of it.
Apparently, he stepped on a security guard's back to get over the rail or something.
You can't do that?
Well, he did. She's got to pay the price.
Not allowed.
Listen, Oklahoma men's basketball is going to run through this league like a hot knife through butter.
What league?
This tournament.
Oh,
right,
the tournament.
Oh, they're going to be in the final, guaranteed.
Oh, bold.
I've been drinking this morning.
Wow.
The good news is it's not like Porter Mosier had to get on there and tweet, no, I'm not going to DePaul last night.
Is he going to DePaul?
No, he's not going to DePaul. That apparently came from Dick Hoops Weiss.
Dick Hoops Weiss has a lot of trouble with X/Twitter.
Porter had to get on there and says, we're having dinner in Kansas City. I love the Sooners. I'm not leaving.
Well,
Dick Wise was tweeting a lot yesterday and does not capitalize and doesn't feel strongly about punctuation.
Smashes it all together. Oh, he'd been drinking.
One of the greatest toupees of all times.
By the way, Diana Rossini is confirming that Aaron Jones is expected to join the Vikings.
Where's Joe Mixon going to go?
He should probably go somewhere in the north. If everyone's just going to their rivals.
By the way, Cincinnati screwed him over. They waited until like 8 starting running back spots were filled via free agency. By the way, we're letting you go. Yeah. Bye.
The Bengals don't have a great reputation of handling everything great, do they? T. Higgins wants out.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that, like, when we were talking about those grades that the ownership got from the Chiefs, I'm kind of like, how many of those people that voted on that have never played for another team that don't really understand? Like, we've talked a lot about how you can take things for granted when you've only been at one place. Oh, our locker room's not as nice. Yeah, well, there's worse things than not having the nicest locker room. You know, like you could go to the Panthers. You know, you can even like the Bengals have been pretty decent lately, but their ownership has never been.
Oh, just like we were talking about with teams in Major League Baseball,
right?
how they go about their business.
Yeah, yeah.
Leopards don't change their spots.
So, is Lebo still there?
No,
he said he had work to do, whatever that means.
Awesome.
He does not. is he saying Dick Weiss is a liar?
I think he's just saying he struggles with Twitter.
I think, yeah, he's saying he's a confused gentleman.
Not the best Twitterer ever.
I don't think he's calling a flat-out liar. Just like, he's a little confused.
You can follow him at Hoops Weiss.
Can I?
You can.
Yeah.
Do you choose to?
His last tweet says, Kansas' two biggest stars, Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough Jr., won't play in the Big 12 tournament due to injuries.
I got that right.
Wonder how
right.
their absence will affect their seeding if Jayhawks have an early exit.
Adversely.
I think they're not playing so
it
they
won't
can
help
play
Dick.
In the tournament.
Sorry, Jake.
No.
Okay. Here's a tweet that has Lebo all riled up. Porter Moser reportedly in line to leave Oklahoma, become head coach at DePaul. Good move. Ooh. Guy knows Chicago from time at Loyola. His beloved figure there.
Incorrect.
Hope school comes up with resources to make it work. Besides playing in SEC, is going to be a bear for whoever gets Sooner's job.
It's a run-on sentence.
No.
Then he followed up a little bit later. Porter Moser denies speculation he will be leaving Oklahoma for DePaul. Who's speculating? He said, would have been a perfect marriage and huge plus for Big East. Oh, well.
Dick.
Whoopsie.
Dick.
I can't believe... Potter Moser.
Who, Potter?
Potter.
Come on, Potter.
Oh, Potter.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Who are you talking about now?
Porter Moser's brother.
Porter.
He's going to turn down DePaul to stay at Oklahoma?
Duh.
What? What?
Of course he is.
He knows the area.
He did do well in Chicago.
Yeah, he knows the area, so why not go back?
Homecoming.
When was the last time DePaul was good?
Joey Meyer.
I had to go to Columbia. It was me, I think it was Aaron and Whitlock went, and it was DePaul at Mizzou, and DePaul was pretty good, and Kareem Rush dropped 37 on him or something, and then we did the show there. At the arena the next morning, and I think we had Kareem Rush on the show. And DePaul, I can't. Oh,
what year was that?
Jake, you're gonna have to do some figuring.
Yeah, I'll find out.
I mean, they were at least relevant.
I feel like DePaul beat Kansas early 2000s at some point in time. I remember playing Yeah, DePaul shocks number 5 Kansas. That was in 2006.
What was his name?
But were they like really good, or was it a shock because they just weren't really that great?
Was it Quentin Richardson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Quentin Richardson would have been on the team, or he was at the. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time that that's. Is that the last time they were relevant?
Their last tournament, their last NCAA tournament appearance, according to Wikipedia, was 2004.
Well, so they didn't even make it to the tournament that year that they beat KU.
No, they made the Sweet 16 as recently as 1987, and they made the Final Four as recently as 1979. So.
Well, that's why they need Porter Moser to come in there.
Been a minute.
Can't believe he's turning that job down to stay in Oklahoma.
I think that was 2000, Stephen, that you're talking about. Kareem Rush and Clarence Gilbert combined for 57 there. Points.
That's right.
December 2000.
December 6th, 2000.
DePaul had 4 NBA players on their team.
They did make the tournament that year.
Quentin Richardson, Bobby Simmons, Paul McPherson, and Stephen Hunter.
They did not make it to the second weekend of the tournament.
Wow, 24 years ago. I thought they were better than that, more recently than that. But
that's what Dick Weiss is talking about, guys. I mean, can't you figure
it out? They're close. I mean, they're so close.
I don't know that Dick Weiss could figure out what he's talking about.
They're close to being good again.
So this has nothing to do with basketball, but it is Big 12. I sent you a... just a small clip from a Chris Klieman press conference that Glenn Kinley tweeted out, and it's only an 8-second clip. And Jake, I think it's about 6 or 7 DMs back. I sent it yesterday. I feel like Bluma will know about this, and I feel like Nate will know about this. I did not know about this, and I need to know more. But first, let's play this clip from Chris Klieman and see if Nate or Bluma can guess what he's talking about. Jake, play it. Bluma,
is that Nate? Is that the Rocky Mountain Oyster Festival?
Are you guys going to go to the Nut Frog?
Are you guys going? First of all, Nate, you lived... In rural Kansas for many a year, right?
Yep.
Did you ever attend? You told us yesterday about your experience with cattle and castration.
Yep.
Have you ever attended a nut fry?
No. I've never been to one.
So I saw this clip, and then Tim Fitzgerald answered the question of the what fry, somebody asked. And Tim Fitzgerald said, every summer... there is a huge catbacker event in Scott City,
yeah.
the heart of cattle country.
I've got people in Scott City, Heineman family, Andy Heineman, college buddy of mine, his
coaches
wife,
and athletes
Libby
also
lives
attend
there.
The event. When the bull becomes a steer, he loses 2 dangling delights that get fried and consumed, thus the nut fry. So it's a big catbacker event in Scott City.
Yeah.
And you've never heard of, you've got people in Scott City.
Oh, yeah.
And you've never heard of the nut fry.
No, I've heard of it. You asked me if I'd ever been to one. No.
Well, you heard him say it, and you said you didn't know what it was.
Good balls.
No, you asked me if I'd ever been to a nut fry, and I've not been to a nut fry. I've mm-hmm. I've participated in the castration of cattle or bulls, more specific. But I've never consumed bull nuts.
Has anyone here?
Bluma?
I have not either.
I would have expected you to say yes. To
this discussion came up this weekend. I have not. I would try it. I've never been in a situation where I had the option to or not to.
I have not touched any balls over.
I'm not interested.
Why not?
It just doesn't sound appealing to me. It doesn't sound. It sounds gross.
And it's a testicle.
No, just being honest, yeah. It just sounds kind of gross.
What do you teach your kids?
Good balls.
You don't know until you try.
That's right. True.
You got to try a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Didn't you hear what Chris Kleiman said?
He said everybody should be excited about the nut fry.
Right.
Jake, have you had a...
Nope. No testes for me.
Of any animal?
I'm not going to try them anytime soon.
Pass.
He's like my brother.
You go ahead and
surprises
put...
me.
In six months from now, Jake's going to be telling you the only way to stay healthy is to eat, you know, full testicles.
Right. I'll drink my own piss, but I will not eat balls.
I don't want...
I wasn't going to mention it, but you did. So,
right.
That's a line Jake will not cross.
Yeah, it's mine, so I'm okay with it.
You know what? Fair enough.
I'm texting my buddy Heineman now.
Yeah,
we had a nut fry
discussion this weekend about that or cow tongue. Like, my dad loves cow tongue.
That's different.
Much different?
Well, how is it different? One produces sperm and the other one gets a tongue.
Wow. I'll tell you something.
Bluma, this man knows his anatomy.
If you don't know the difference between your tongue and your balls, then we need to figure things out, buddy.
We have
a long talk, all right?
It's a lot different. How about like cow tongue tacos?
Right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take that back.
I'll retract that statement. My dad loves all that,
yeah.
You know?
It's organ meat.
Well, technically, yes.
Right?
Yep.
I think we should change the subject.
Liver, pancreas.
What are you laughing at? Miller Lite Fan Fest gets started here in just a couple hours.
Yeah, it does.
I'm jealous I can't get down there till Thursday, man. But looking forward to enjoying. I don't think I've been down there in a while.
It's going to be a build-up, of course, today because you have the two men's games that start at 11:30, but then tonight is the women's championship between Iowa State and Texas, and that ought to be a
what
wild
time's that?
Atmosphere, so.
Is that 6:30? Eight? Oh, not
no,
till
that's
eight.
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yep,
got it.
So. Mom, stop texting me.
What's she saying?
Yeah, she's got some comments.
I want to know what your mom says.
There's
our tongue is very. She says tongue is very gross. Fried nuts are good.
Mom. She weighs in.
She knows.
There's the truth. Word for it.
There's the
truth.
She
puts you in your place.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
Okay,
oh, boy.
Thanks, Nate's mom.
Tell her to go ahead and call in next time. If she
straight
has
from the
that
art,
type of information.
Straight
for us.
From the
I'm
art
sure she
city,
can, if you want
fried.
If you have time for the calls, you can call in, you know.
I feel it's necessary for everyone involved right now to break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol. What do you have coming up, Bluma?
Got spring break camp finishing up this week. I'm going to come and see you guys down there. And then, nothing big on the horizon the rest of March. I mean, spring opening day. Obviously, we'll have to get together and see who's going to go out to there on opening day. That's always a fun day of the year. We used to do all the sell newspapers and do all that kind of stuff all over the city. I don't think we do that stuff anymore. I think we're doing some stuff with Price Chopper this year. A bunch of alumni will be at Price Chopper's in the morning of opening day and do some tailgate special of some sort.
Only 16 days away until opening day. Out at the K.
Versus the Twins.
The question is, how many more opening days out of the K will there be?
That's another long discussion.
You enjoying all that discourse?
I'm in a unique position with knowing people that have businesses in the Crossroad District. So I'll be anxious to see what happens with the tax vote, the 3/8 cent sales tax vote. So
they must not be getting good feedback if they keep having these press conferences, right? Is that a correct assumption?
I think that's part of the case. I'm going to try to stay out of it a little bit because I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard place.
Well, I'm not even making a statement on whether or not I think it's a good idea. I just wonder, like, what – maybe they're just trying to cover their bases and make sure they push to get it voted. But it just kind of seems like they keep sending out letters. They keep putting out I wonder what kind of feedback they're getting from the general
public.
Nate
wants to know how you're voting and how people you think people should vote. So go
tell
ahead
us
and
everything.
Just lay it on the line for us.
Well, I don't have a vote, so I'm not Jackson County. I'm gonna stay out of it, man. You know my suit. We'll have a beer and talk about it on Thursday off the air. How about that?
Okay. And Nate will tweet everything out.
Yeah.
Dustin has tweeted in about the nut fry. You all don't know what you're missing. As long as you don't think about what you're putting in your mouth, it's a delicacy.
Yep.
So. You know what? You have to tell yourself that a lot of times in life, don't you?
I don't.
That's Nate Buchady, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Jamie Loomer for stopping by the studio.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Back after this on WHP.